Psalm 42:43, a maskil for the sons of Korah. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. To the chief musician, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts today. We have been examining the United Psalm, Psalm 42-43. In the first section, David has spoken about his longing after God, a desire to be in God's presence in Jerusalem, and a desire for God to show his deliverance from the ungodly nation which has risen up against him in Absalom's rebellion. In the second section, after the first refrain did not work to recover his soul from its despair, David sets his mind on remembering God. His first reflection on God in verse 7 was one of God's being against David. David describes in picturesque fashion how he is in the midst of a turbulent sea, where God causes his waves to crash down on top of him. This we connected with God's chastening of David for his sin with Bathsheba. This sin with Bathsheba was the reason for his son Absalom's rebellion, and the stormy sea in which he was presently found. But then he had a wonderful remembrance of God, in verse 8, where we left off last week. So let us reflect more fully upon verse 8 and the firm foothold David found in this verse. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. This verse, next to the refrain that runs throughout the psalm, is the most powerful verse of the psalm to recover faith in the soul of the psalmist. We must say that the refraining verses are obviously the most powerful verses because of their repetition. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. This refrain must be the most powerful of the verses. But then the second most powerful is verse 8. We notice this by its being the central verse and by the message of the verse. We have already touched on this topic, but let's reflect more upon the significance of verse 8. First, by mentally removing the marker for Psalm 43 and uniting the psalm as one psalm, we find verses 8 and 9 to be central to the whole psalm on one level of the psalm's structure. Second, the placement of the names of God is significant. This is an Elohim-dominant psalm with 17 occurrences of Elohim. There is only one occasion of Jehovah. That one occasion is in the first phrase of verse 8, "Yet the Lord, Jehovah, will command his loving kindness." Though dominance is given to Elohim in the whole psalm, this one use of Jehovah emphasizes what is said about him in this verse, that he will command his loving kindness for this downtrodden, discouraged soul. Third, the strategic placement of the four uses of the name El in the psalm, which we have taken time to explain already, are also significant and add emphasis to verse 8. Though verses 8 and 9 are both central on this level of the psalm structure, with the refrain added to the psalm, verse 8 is the only verse central on both levels of the psalm structure, lending to its greater emphasis. Finally, we find the real proof of the importance of verse 8 in the significance of what the verse says in the progression of the psalm. The first section expressed the discouragement of the psalmist's soul, ending with the psalmist's first attempt to encourage his soul. This encouragement did not work, at least not by itself. So the soul was still said to be bowed down at the beginning of the second section. But then in this second section, the psalmist determines to remember God. Following that remembrance of God in the storm, the psalmist then remembers how God's mercy shall be showed to him, completely reversing the storm that he originally sent. This is where the psalmist's soul, by faith, takes a firm foothold. Following this, he prays to God, complaining about his trouble. Then the second refrain closes the section with his soul being encouraged again. The final section then ends the psalm with full faith expressed. All this to say that the words of verse 8 are the message which gives footing to the psalmist's faith. Upon this message, the faith expressed in the rest of the psalm blossoms to overwhelming confidence in the victory which would come. So having established the importance of verse 8, let's examine what it says. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life." First, in examining this verse, let us notice the repetition of this verse. The words "in the daytime" and "in the night" are the same Hebrew words as used in verse 3 when he said, "My tears have been my meat day and night." So in the same times of day, in the same settings, David, by faith, sees a complete change to his situation. He was fasting and weeping by day and by night before. Now he sees by day and by night the invisible work of God to secure him. We have already made note of the other mark of repetition in the words, "God of my life." This is the second use of the name El in the psalm. The first was in verse 2 with the living God, or literally, the El of life, the God of life. He is the source and supporter of all of life. But now he is made more personal to the psalmist in verse 8, as he says, "the El, or the God, of my life." Though he was the God bringing judgment against David, David also knew that he was the source and supporter of his life. David would not ultimately be overwhelmed by God's waves threatening to drown him. The God of his life would still the storm, bring him to dry land, and cause him to rise again. Now concerning the rest of the verse, we have noticed that the first phrase has the sole use of the name Jehovah. "Yet the Lord, Jehovah, will command his loving kindness in the daytime." Jehovah is the personal name of God. His name is Jehovah, and Jehovah is the covenant name of God. He told Moses that his name was Jehovah, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He was the one who had entered into a covenant relationship with these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. and he would never fail them. And Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, would not fail David either, in part because of the covenant Jehovah had made with David personally, that his seed would sit upon his throne. Though we saw how uncertain David was in the historical books that God would deliver him from Absalom, we see Psalm 42:43 being the changing of his despair into faith. And this mentioning of the covenant-keeping God, Jehovah, is the beginning of that change from despair to hope. Jehovah does something very significant in this verse. He commands his loving kindness. The power of God to command and it happens is truly wonderful. It is the perfect expression of power and authority. Dr. Charles Butler recently spoke on God's power of creation. God commanded, "Let there be light," and there was light. Immediate perfect obedience is expressed by the creation, and of course it has no power to resist God's command. So God commands his loving kindness in Psalm 42. We will see in the next Psalm, Psalm 44, where God is to command Jacob's salvation. The psalmist knows that all God must do is command, and it shall be done. So in Psalm 42:43, the psalmist sees by faith that God commands his loving kindness. David knows now that God's loving kindness is certain to come, because he has commanded it to be so. And our hearts too should be comforted by this expression. The only significant act between your trouble and your salvation is God's command that it be done. If God has not commanded it to happen yet in the midst of your troubles, then trust in his wisdom, his perfect timing, his love and forgiveness, his covenant faithfulness. But also trust that at the appropriate time, Jehovah will open his mouth and command his loving kindness to be poured out on you. When the command goes forth, your salvation is assured. Now, parallel to this is the phrase, "And in the night his song shall be with me." Now, the word "his" in "his song" is actually not correct according to the written text. Here, the translators chose to follow the marginal reading of the text. The text itself says, "her song," but the feminine pronoun has no antecedent to make the pronoun understandable. So I would suggest that the word is the feminine form of song, as in 2 Samuel 22:1. This understanding does not change the letters or words of the text. It merely understands the scribes who added points to explain the text were wrong in what they added to this text to make it her song. It should rather be the feminine word, simply song. So the translation then reads, "And in the night, a song is with me." The song is then described in the last phrase, "My prayer unto the God of my life." The song is a prayer, as we see many titles identifying a psalm with various words, usually psalm and song combined. Psalm 142 is called both an instruction and a prayer, and we have seen many of the psalms identified as psalms in the titles, but expressed as prayers to God. So in like manner, this song, given in the night, is a prayer to the God of his life. This prayer, then, will take up the rest of this psalm. We will see the beginning of this prayer in verses 9 and 10. Then the refrain of verse 11 breaks up the prayer with the repeated address to his soul to wait for God. Then we find the end of the prayer in the last section, Psalm 43:1-4. And the psalm itself ends with the final refrain of Psalm 43:5. So as we will see in the rest of the psalm, this song, this prayer that comes to David in the night season, is a prayer of faith resulting from God's loving kindness commanded in the daytime. The prayer does have complaint in it, as in verse 9, "Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" But this complaint is done in faith, not accusing God falsely, but moving him to act decisively for the psalmist's salvation. And the prayer also contains clear requests of faith to vindicate him from his enemies. and bring him back to Jerusalem. So with this song, this prayer, being heard by God, the psalmist knew that his victory was assured. Such confidence was expressed in Psalm 6. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. The enemies are to depart because God has heard his prayer. So we see the importance and power of verse 8. While setting his mind to remember God, David remembered that God was bringing his trouble into his life. It was God's waves that were crashing down on him. But then, in the daytime, David saw by faith Jehovah's command for his loving kindness to be shown to him. His wrath was no longer going to be expressed. His loving kindness was as certain as the existence of light after God commanded it to be. It is God's command which gives David's downtrodden soul hope. It was the remembrance of God which was the impetus to pray. His downtrodden soul was raised up in faith, believing in the God who would hear and deliver him. So what are your remembrances of God? Are they only of his sending his waves to crash down on top of you? Or can you see by faith your loving Father and covenant-keeping God commanding your salvation? Will you leave your soul wallowing in the past in self-pity? Or will you take confidence in God's love and seek his salvation in prayer? In your affliction and being overwhelmed by your troubles, rise up in faith. Set your mind to the true character and power of God. He is faithful and he is able. Assure your victory by looking unto him.